Kids, don't touch that dial, because now it's time for the Bobby Bucket Show.
Hello, readers. It's Bobby Bucket with the Bucket of Books podcast, a podcast for kids, parents, and readers of all ages. It's a long show today, but it's a really special show because today we're heading off to the ballpark. Today we're hanging out with Maine author and illustrator Matt Tavares. If you like baseball, you're going to love three of his books that we're going to feature today. We're going to his book signings at the Portsmouth Public Library and also over to my favorite toy store, G. Willikers in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, to hear Matt read and talk about his books. Well, all right, it's our first show with an author interview and two stories read by the author. So grease up the mitt, grab a hot dog and some Cracker Jacks, and play ball! Do you like baseball? Have you ever gone to a baseball game? Do you play baseball? What position do you play? Who's your favorite team? Are the Red Sox going to win the World Series again? Do they really sell Cracker Jacks at the ballpark? Do you know what the Green Monster is at Fenway Park? What's your favorite baseball book? Do you like baseball stories? Whoa, that was a lot of questions, but do you know what we're doing? We're getting your mind ready for reading. You see, asking questions gets your mind awake and alive. And it's what good readers do before they read, while they read, and after they read. Did you know that there are actually different types of questions? Today on the show, we're going to talk about different types of questions for readers. But first, I just can't wait to get to the books that we have today. Today, we have Matt Tavares on the show. Matt lives in Ogunquit, Maine, and is an author and illustrator. Three of his books that we're going to talk about today are Zachary's Ball, Oliver's Game, and his latest, Mudball. All three are published by Candlewick Press, and all three are incredible baseball stories. Matt Tavares is just an amazing artist. He works in pencil and watercolor and even eraser. In Matt's latest book, Mudball, he needed to get the effect of rain falling, so here's how he did it. After completing his amazing artwork, he then took an eraser to it, creating straight lines or streaks right through his work. Whoa, that took courage. Can you imagine working so hard on a piece of art and then taking an eraser to it? There's a magic quality to Matt's artwork. He has an incredible style, and the way he captures light is truly amazing. The magic is in the stories as well. All three stories are page-turners. But rather than have me tell you about them, why don't we listen to Matt read one of them right now? Here's Matt Tavares at the Portsmouth Public Library in New Hampshire reading his book, Zachary's Ball.
Hi, everybody. We have some Red Sox fans here. Yeah. Excellent. Good, good.
Yep,
So I'm going to read Zachary's Ball. This is my story. It's about a little boy who goes to Fenway Park where the Red Sox play. Anyone ever been there before?
Yeah.
It's a really cool place. So I'll read that. And then if you guys have any questions, I can answer questions after and go up back up and sign books. Right. I had never been inside a ballpark until that day. Everything felt so close to me. The outfield fence, the players warming up, even the man who watered the field. I was jealous of him because he got to walk on the same grass as Buck Spoonwell and all the other heroes my father talked about so often. I remember everybody clapping and hollering when Boston came up to bat. Hundreds of people in the bleachers chanted in unison, "Let's go Sox! Let's go Sox!" Buck Spoonwell was up first. "Hit a home run, Buck," my father shouted. "Let's go, Buck," I yelled as loud as I could. On the first pitch, Buck took a mighty swing, but he did not hit a home run. Instead, he popped the ball straight up into the sky. The crowd groaned. But then suddenly the wind picked up and carried the ball right toward us. My father stood up. So did all the other grown-ups. I stood up too, even though I was too little to catch the ball. Once all the jumping and yelling stopped, my father sat down, and with a big smile, he held in front of me a beautiful white baseball. As he handed me the ball, something unbelievable happened. All of a sudden, I was no longer sitting with my father. I was standing on the pitcher's mound, dressed in a Red Sox uniform. "One more strike and we win, kid," said Skip Johnson, the manager, as he handed me the ball and returned to the dugout. I looked at the catcher crouched down behind the plate, waiting for my pitch. He gave me some sort of sign, but I didn't know what it meant, so I just reared back and threw the ball as hard as I could. The hitter swung as hard as he could, but the ball whizzed past him. Strike three. The Sox win. The catcher ran out to the mound to give me the game ball. As he handed it to me, suddenly I was back in the stands with my father. It seemed as though no time had passed. "Dad," I exclaimed, "this baseball is magic." My father smiled. "They're all magic," he said. I wrote my name on the baseball as soon as I got home that day. That night, I took my ball to bed with me, and each night from then on, I dreamed about baseball. One night, I was standing in left field at Fenway Park when New York's best hitter blasted a deep fly ball right toward me. I ran as fast as I could and dove for it, feeling the smack of the ball in my glove as I skidded across the outfield grass. Another night, I struck out the final batter in the seventh game of the World Series. My teammates all ran out to the mound and held me above their shoulders, while thousands of Red Sox fans stormed the field. Then, one day, my baseball was gone. I looked in the drawer in my desk where I usually kept it. I looked all over my room. For weeks, I looked everywhere, but it was nowhere to be found. A few months passed, and finally, I gave up. I still dreamed of baseball, though, and every summer, I spent my Saturday afternoons at the ballpark, rooting for Boston, always hoping that another ball might come my way. Years later, I was taking a walk in Boston down by the ballpark. The heat was unbearable, so I stopped to rest in a tiny spot of shade. I gazed up at the big wall in front of me. I heard the sound of cheering fans from inside the park. Just then, out of the sky came a glowing white baseball. A towering home run hit over the wall. I reached up, and it fell gracefully into my outstretched hands. As I spun the dusty ball around, I thought I saw two faded words written in a child's handwriting. Zachary's Ball. Quickly, I tried to brush the dust away so I could read it more clearly, but as the dust vanished into the air, so did the words. Holding my new baseball, I thought back to the day when my father took me to my first game. I remembered the gift he had given me. Now I had caught a ball myself. I couldn't wait to tell him. As I turned to head home, I noticed a young girl holding her father's hand. She was staring at my baseball. I placed the ball in her hands. A moment later, she exclaimed, "This baseball is magic." "I know," I answered. "They're all magic." The end. Thank you. I'm going to tell you guys one little story about this book, something amazing that actually happened. When I drew all these pictures, I usually try to find real people to pose for me as my models. So my model for Zachary was my cousin Ryan. He was about 10 years old at the time. So I asked him, so he posed for all these different pictures. Now, after this whole book was done, all the pictures were done, the story was done and everything, I was out having pizza with my friends, and we're at this restaurant in Boston, and the Red Sox game was on TV. And at one point, and I wasn't really even watching the game, I just looked up every once in a while to see what the score was. And at one point, I looked up at the TV, and I couldn't believe it, because up on the screen, it looked just like this picture. And I could have sworn it was the same kid. My cousin Ryan, he's at Fenway. Someone's giving him a foul ball, he's all excited. And it was weird. Then I figured, I guess it was just for a few seconds they showed it. I figured it was just some kid that looked like him. But later on, it turned out it was actually him. So after the whole book was done, this kid really went to Fenway. The ball boy got a foul ball and gave it to him. And it happened to be on TV, which is strange anyway. And I happened to look up right when they showed it.
Nice.
Kind of spooky.
Yeah.
So when that happened, I was all convinced that Zachary's ball really is magic. And that meant that the Red Sox were going to win the World Series. Because that happened in the book, too. Not that I want to take credit for it or anything. Kind of strange.
Are you writing another one this year?
Right now I'm writing illustrating Jack and the Beanstalk. So yeah, I don't know. Hopefully that won't come true.
Talk to when the Red Sox lose. Instead of you working all night, me alone with my blues. Hey, give me someone to talk to keep our hope alive. Someone lets me run at the mouth on, till I'm satisfied. Someone to talk to, give me someone to walk through, for every turn, every up at the back, on this long, lonely road, traveling on, traveling on, traveling on.
That was a great song by Mike Halal, who sent that in. It's called Red Sox Blues. It's a great song. Thanks for sending that in, Mike. And wow, what a great book by Matt Tavares. And what a story about his cousin who ended up on TV. I've got goosebumps from that story. And it brings to mind all kinds of other questions that I have. Hey, I promised that we would talk about the strategy of questioning. So let's look at that a bit more. And then you'll hear me get to ask some questions to Matt during an interview that I did with him. So here's my good friend, Professor Siegfried, to tell us about the different types of questions. Professor?
Hello and welcome. This is Professor Siegfried. When readers ask questions, there are four main types of questions being asked. And the four types can be put into two categories. There are in-the-book questions and in-my-head questions. Let's look at the in-the-book questions. The first type is right-there questions. These are questions that can be answered by finding them right in the book and pointing your finger at them and saying, "Aha, there it is!" For instance, in Zachary's ball, I can ask, who handed the foul ball to Zachary? You see that right there questions are pretty simple questions. All you have to do is look on the page and you can point to the answer. Zachary's dad gave him the ball. The second type of in-the-book questions is think and search questions. These questions are a little bit harder. They need you to search around in the story and then use different information and put together the different story parts to answer the question. An example of this would be, what did Zachary do with the ball? In this question, you would use different parts of the book to figure out that he kept it in his room, and also figure out that he was still a kid when he lost it. And you even know that he put his name on the ball. The other type of questions are in my head questions. The first type is Arthur and you. The answer to these questions are not in the story. You need to think about what you already know and what the writer tells you in the story, and then fit this together. So, you're using ideas and information that is not stated directly in the passage to answer the question. These questions are when you think about what you have read and come up with your own ideas or opinions. For example, in reading Zachary's Ball, why do you think Matt Tavares has the main character give the ball to the girl at the end of the story? You might use what you learned in the story that the boy experienced the magic when he was a child, and also use what you know about adults in the real world that they want to share and help kids to also have wonderful experiences in answering the question. The last type of question is on my own. The answer is not in the story. You can even answer these type of questions without reading the story. You just need to use your own experiences. Some of those questions that Bobby Bucket asked at the beginning of the show to get you ready for reading would be examples of this. Like, do you like baseball? Or do you know what the Green Monster is at Fenway Park? Or what kind of things usually happen in baseball games? Okay, now you are a question home run hitter, and don't let anyone tell you otherwise. For the Bobby Bucket Show, I'm Professor Siegfried.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I ever get back, 'cause it's root, root, root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame, for it's one, two, three strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Well, speaking of questions, it's time to head over to my favorite toy store, G. Willikers in downtown Portsmouth, New Hampshire. They had Matt Tavares come in and sign some of his books the other day, and I got to ask him some questions.
Okay, I'm standing here with Matt Tavares. We're at G. Willikers down in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. Matt, welcome.
Thank you.
Hey, can you just tell us a little bit about how you got into writing and how all this came about?
I started my first book I did as my senior thesis when I was in college. And I had to spend a whole school year working on one project, and I was an art major, so I decided I wanted to write and illustrate my own picture book. So I spent that whole school year working on it, and that was called Sebastian's Ball at the time when I first made it. And when I graduated, I went about trying to get it published, and I got it. It was rejected by a few places before I found one company, Candlewick Press, who told me they thought it was really good, but they thought of it as my rough draft, which meant that I had to go back and do the whole thing over pretty much, which I did.
The drawings as well as the writing?
Yeah. At first I thought I was probably going to just have to do maybe a few of the pictures over and just revise the words a bit. But once I got started, I kept realizing I had to do more and more over. And by the end, I did every single picture over and revised the story a little bit. So by the end, I had this whole other book that it was actually much better the second time I did it. So I'm glad I did it over.
Cool.
But
why did it change to Zachary's Ball? What made that happen?
Some people at my publisher felt like it was such an all-American story, and Sebastian's just not a very common American name.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah, so they wanted a name just that American kids were a little more familiar with. So I had a family friend named Zachary that I wanted to name it after. So
great, excellent.
Switched it. Yep.
This show that we're doing today is all about questions. So I was going to ask, what is the question that started you in the direction of Mudball, of doing that book? What question did you start with?
What question?
Yeah.
Well, I came across the story of Mudball It's an old baseball legend that supposedly is a true story. And I found it. I was reading. I love to read about baseball, and I was just reading this kind of silly book of interesting things that have happened in baseball games. And I saw there was one little story called the 24-inch home run, and it was about the shortest home run ever hit. And the story was that the ball gets lost in the mud and no one could find it. And so I guess my question was, how did that ever happen? You know, it didn't make any sense that this could ever have happened. Yeah. So I started researching it, and sure enough, you know, I found a bunch of other books that mentioned it, and I looked online and found a few different sites that mentioned it. And so that kind of, I guess that question of how did that really happen just got me thinking. And the more I looked into it, it turned out I'm pretty sure it probably never did happen. But and then I was kind of thinking, oh, too bad, it would have been a good idea. But then the more I thought about it, it was like, well, it's still kind of neat, because you just think, how did this ever become known as a true story? And, you know, maybe someone told a story a long time ago, then someone exaggerated it a little bit, and then over 100 years, it's turned into this whole other thing. So
and now it's a, I mean, it's a and story. Now,
yeah, and to make Mudball, I kind of took the gist of the story and tried to imagine how it would have happened if it did happen. So a lot of Mudball is stuff that I made up just to try to make sense of how it could have happened, just figuring, you know, why would these guys even be playing if it was so muddy and it was raining? And I figured, well, maybe there's only one out left and the hitter's not very good and everyone just wants to go home, so that would make sense.
Right.
And So I found the roster for that team and figured who might have been on base then if the bases were loaded, and figuring Andy Euler was probably batting last. And So
this one question really took you on a journey.
Yeah.
All the way
and
out
that's
there.
What, you know, I'm always trying to think of story ideas. So just questioning everything that happens and everything I read, and, you know, mostly trying to think, you know, would this make an interesting picture book? And
Now, what starts first for you, the story or the pictures? Which do you do first?
A little, it's always a back and forth thing, but for the most part, I write the story first and then draw the pictures. But while I'm writing the story, I'm always picturing it in my head and making little doodles and rough sketches for what might be on each page. And once I really hash out what the picture is going to be, I always go back to the words and change them, or usually cross out a bunch of words because I realize I don't need them once I draw the picture. I always try to tell as much of the story as I can in the picture, just because it's easy when you're writing to go on and on and on, but it's kind of hard to just write two simple sentences and get the same point across. So
yeah.
I always try to, you know, keep the writing as simple as I can and tell as much of the story in the picture. Because kids spend a lot of time looking at that picture, so I like to have a lot of stuff in there to keep them busy.
Right. What about when you were a kid? What were some books that you were really into? I know people are going to want to hear that.
I really loved Dr. Seuss when I was a kid. Yertle the Turtle was one of my favorites. I've always liked Chris Van Allsburg. He's one of my favorites. What other picture books? Bernard Weber, like Ira Sleeps Over.
Oh, right.
That was one of my favorite books. Yeah.
He's great. Here's a tough question.
All right.
What's your favorite Matt Tavares book? If you had to hand one off to somebody, and why would that be your I guess your baby, your gem?
It's always hard to say.
Yeah, because they're like children.
Mudball's my newest book, and I think it's my favorite. I tried to do some different stuff with that I wasn't sure when I was working on it if it was different in a good way or different in a bad way, but
like what would be an
just,
example?
There's a little more color, and I used some watercolor, and just the whole trying to draw rain was kind of a difficult task. I'm pretty excited with how it came out. So
is that where the color comes in? It's from watercolor, or
yep.
Is that pencil?
That's watercolor. Wow. Yeah, pencil and watercolor.
That's great. Yeah,
so
really great sense of light on that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I think that's my favorite one. But then Zachary's Ball will always have a special place for me, just because that was my first one, and that's about being a Red Sox fan. And so sometimes that's the one I give to people who are friends, who I know are Red Sox fans, just because that's sort of, that's my standard first one that
And what's coming up? What are you working on right,
now? I'm finishing up illustrating Jack and the Beanstalk, which hopefully will be my best one once it's done. But that's
and someone else is writing that or retelling.
Yeah, I'm using an old version written by E. Nesbitt about 100 years ago, and it's a really neat old-fashioned version. I thought about I looked at a bunch of different versions of it and thought about writing my own, but found this one that it's been out of print for a long time, and it's a really nice version. It has some kind of quaint, quirky, old-fashioned sounds to it, but it's kind of funny, and so that's what I'm using.
All right, well, thanks. That's excellent.
Thank you.
Thanks for talking to us.
We've got a great song this week. Zachary's Ball talks about the Red Sox, and this song was written for the Red Sox. It's by the Gyromatics, a band out of Boston, and this is their song, Man, I Love This Team, Go Red Sox.
Have you heard the news that's going around? Our hometown team is series bound. And the word is out on Yaki Way. Our boys in red have come to play. Now get up off your seats, everybody scream. Your seats, everybody scream, man, I really love this team. And you got to keep believing, and you got to stay tough, and you got to keep the faith, and you got a cowboy up. We'll stand up proud and say it loud, come on and let them know. Say, here we go, Red Sox, here we go.
Here we go back to the Portsmouth Public Library in New Hampshire to hear another story from Matt Tavares. This is his latest book called Mudball.
All right, I'll read Mudball now. This is my new book. This is this old baseball legend that I came across one day reading. I love to read about baseball. So I was reading this book, and there was this story that I just thought was amazing. It didn't seem like it could have ever really happened. And I started researching it more. And it turns out I don't think it ever really did happen. But it's this old baseball story that I decided, even though it didn't really happen, probably, pretty cool story. And then I kind of added on to it and changed some things to make it better, since it's probably not true anyway. So, but it might have happened. One fateful spring day in 1903, little Andy Euler practiced his swing and tried not to listen to the heckling fans of the opposing team of the St. Paul Saints. "Hey, Shorty, I bet you can't even hit it past the pitcher's mound," a man shouted. "Yeah," sneered a little girl, "my grandmother can hit it farther than you." Andy wondered if maybe, just maybe, they were right.
After all, he was the shortest player on his team, the Minneapolis Millers, and in the whole league. Even worse, he just couldn't seem to get a hit, no matter how hard he tried. Maybe it's time for me to quit, thought little Andy Euler, as a cold drizzle fell from the gray sky. Poor guy. The Minneapolis Millers trailed the St. Paul Saints by 3 runs. They were down to their final out. The bases were loaded, and little Andy Euler was their only hope. But just as he stepped into the batter's box, it began to pour. Time out, yelled the umpire. Wait until this storm cloud passes. But the rain kept coming, and within minutes the infield had turned to mud, and the field was spotted with puddles. Play on, the umpire finally yelled. He was hoping for one quick out, and with little Andy Euler up, he knew the chances of that were good. Andy's cold hands trembled as he tightened his grip on the bat. Bring us home, kid, shouted Maloney, taking his lead off first. Just keep your eye on the ball, yelled Yeager, standing ankle-deep in a puddle just left of second base. And whatever you do, don't strike out, growled Slugger McCreary, wringing out his jersey at third. Good job. The pitcher wound up and fired a fastball, but the wet ball slipped as it left his hand and went hurtling straight toward little Andy Euler's head. Look out, yelled Maloney. Duck, screamed Yeager, covering his eyes. And don't strike out, shouted McCreary. Andy braced himself, but just when he expected the ball to hit him, he heard the unmistakable sound of ball against bat. Crack. Crack. Can you say that? Crack. No, you're shy. Yeah. Somehow, Andy's bat had hit the ball. Everybody heard it, but nobody saw where it went. Little Andy Euler took off for first. He popped it up, the catcher shouted. I saw the ball go straight up. He ran in circles around home plate, ready to catch the ball when it fell from the sky. But it never did. I think it's in this puddle, the first baseman shouted. I saw it land right here. He splashed and splashed, but still the ball was nowhere to be found. Meanwhile, Slugger McCreary strutted across home plate. The score was 3-1. Euler stole the ball! Check his pockets! The Saints fans yelled. Andy raced towards second, but the second baseman stood in his way. Come here, you little thief, he growled. The second baseman dove, but Andy jumped right over him. He rounded second and headed for third as Yeager slid safely home. The score was 3-2. What did you do with the ball? The pitcher screamed at the catcher. I didn't do anything, yelled the catcher. It just disappeared. As they were arguing, Maloney slid between them and crossed home plate. The score was tied. Andy tagged third and headed for home, but the muddy second baseman was hot on his trail. I'm gonna get you, the second baseman yelled. With every step, he drew closer and closer. But just as he was ready to pounce on Andy, he tripped and fell face down in the mud. Little Andy Euler crossed home plate with the winning run. We scored 4 runs! We win! Yelled the Millers manager. It doesn't count, shouted the Saints manager. Nobody knows where the ball went. Ah, moaned the second baseman. I tripped on a rock and twisted my ankle. The umpire scratched his head. There weren't any rocks when I raked the field this morning, he said. Oh yeah, said the second baseman. Then what's this? Fair ball, shouted the umpire. The Millers win. The Millers jumped for joy. The fans rushed the field, and everyone crowded around little Andy Euler, the big hero of Minneapolis. The end.
Was this a special game?
Thank you. Was this a special game?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Was it just a regular game?
I think it was supposed to be just a regular season game.
Okay, and
in some places I read about it, they said it was pouring right then. And sometimes it said that it had poured earlier that day, so the field was muddy.
Okay,
and so in the end, I kind of just made it up the way that I thought it could have happened. Like, if there was one out left and everyone just wanted to go home and they didn't want to sit around and wait, maybe they would have just played and tried to get the game over with. And
try to lose.
tried to recreate what could have happened. All right, maybe we'll head back in the other room and you guys can draw some.
And now it's time for Parents' Corner.
Parents, there's a name for learning about the different question types that Professor Siegfried talked about. It's called question-answer relationship, or QAR. Understanding and identifying the different question types helps readers with comprehension and can even help your scholar in answering comprehension questions in testing situations. I'll put a few links on the website about QAR and asking questions, as well as a link to a great list of questions that you can ask your reader before, during, and after reading. Well, I hope you enjoyed this week's show, hanging out with Matt Taveras. Matt says his favorite book is Mudball, but you've got to check out Oliver's Game as well. That's my favorite book by him. And he's also illustrated 'Twas the Night Before Christmas that you got to check out, and I can't wait for that Jack and the Beanstalk story that he talked about. Remember, you can visit us online at bobbybucket.com. I'll put links there from the things that we talked about in the show, as well as links to the music that we played. You can email us with book recommendations, ideas for shows, or questions at bobbybucket@gmail.com. We really want to hear from you. We know there's about 30 actual subscribers out there. So please send us a mail. Tell us what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong. We would really love the feedback. Send us audio comments or reviews so we can play them on the show. This episode of the Bobby Bucket Show is dedicated to Jack, Brendan, Bridget, and their parents, Tim and Betty Lynn. Not only are they all huge Red Sox fans and hopefully will like this show, but they are the best neighbors my family and I have ever had. And we feel so lucky that little Bucket will get to grow up with such amazing kids right out behind the back of her yard, about right field from where our house is. Thank you from the bottom of my bucket. Also, thank you to the good people of the Portsmouth Public Library in New Hampshire for letting us record Matt there. And a big thank you to the good folks over at G. Willikers Toy Store in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, for having Matt, letting us record, and supplying us with his three baseball books. Go check them out at 13 Market Street, Portsmouth, New Hampshire, and at gwillikers.com. Okay, we'll see you soon, and until then, read Buckets and Buckets!